Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Thank you for inviting us into your homes tonight. This is Polygamy, What Love Is This? And it's a program based and focused on early Mormon polygamy and present-day polygamy. If you would like to call in during the show tonight with your comments or questions, our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. If you would prefer to email us your questions or comments, you can send them to us at our email address, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And we'd like to remind you that our show is rebroadcast on Sunday afternoons in the Boise, Idaho area on KCLP Channel 18. And live streaming video allows our viewers from around the globe to watch our show the same time every Thursday evening from our website, whatloveisthis.tv. And the website that describes our outreach to polygamists is shieldandrefuge.org. And if you're in a polygamy group and you have questions or doubts or comments, or if you want to leave or you just want to talk, you can give us a call. We do have a toll-free hotline, and the number is 877-425-9993. Our purpose is to let you know from God's word that God has never commanded polygamy. He does not require it. We have freedom in Jesus Christ and salvation in Him alone, and polygamy has nothing to do with His salvation plan. We also have a support group that we call Life After Polygamy. We meet once a month. We met last Monday evening, had a good meeting once again, and we would like to invite those who have come in the past and haven't come for a while, or those who haven't come yet, to just to grab a friend and come on down and sit through one of our meetings. You'll enjoy it. There's people of like mind. And if you want more information, you can email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Our next meeting will be July 18th. That's a Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. And we'd also like to remind you that people from every polygamy group or situation is certainly welcome to come. The book, Mormonism, Mama and Me, I've talked about this book before on our show, is a book that was written by the late Granny Geer, and it's a delightful approach to understanding Mormon church history. The book reveals some controversial early Mormon history that most followers of Mormonism most likely don't even know anything about. However, I must caution you that the history in this book is not Cloroxed, and you'll get the real thing. So don't read it if you will be offended by the truth. And in the past, we have offered this book free to somebody from either a polygamy group or the Mormon church who would call in and answer a question. And tonight I'd like to offer another book absolutely free to someone from either the polygamy group or the Mormon church. If you'll call in and answer a question on the air, it must be answered on the air. And the question that I'm asking tonight is, do you believe that God ever commands and expects us to lie? Do you believe that God commands and expects us to lie? And if so, why? And when you call in, if you're afraid you're going to be recognized, you can use an alias or an anonymous, and you must leave your mailing information with the operator. Of course, that will be kept confidential. And the question must be answered on the air. We'll give this book to you absolutely free, no strings attached. And please also remember that tonight, any night, but especially tonight, when we say Mormon doctrine, we are almost always referencing it to both polygamous and the mainline Mormon beliefs. Last week's show was a rebroadcast from an interview that we had last year with Sandra Tanner as our guest, and we discussed the early Mormon pattern of lying and deceit as being the standard practice by leadership of their polygamous members in the early Mormon church. Tonight's subject, we are going to talk about the attitude of this culture that imagines it's okay to live and believe incorrect doctrines and myths as long as you're living the good life. Many in the polygamy groups, by their actions, have effectively changed the ninth commandment from thou shalt not bear false witness to thou shalt bear false witness to protect the kingdom of God. Sadly, they don't realize that Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. So therefore, they are not the kingdom of God, and neither is any other group on this planet. The attitude of lying for the Lord was standard practice in early Mormonism, and it continues to be acceptable even today. For instance, Gordon Hinckley said he didn't know much about the couplet, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may become. Now, this couplet has been an official Mormon teaching since Lorenzo Snow first coined the phrase. Informed polygamists and Mormons know that full well, but Gordon B. Hinckley didn't know that. Gordon Hinckley also said there's no such thing as a Mormon fundamentalist, but we all know there are. In fact, there's somewhere between 40 and 100,000 of them. Why didn't he know that? He also said that polygamy isn't doctrinal. When Joseph Smith began his polygamist activities and preached that it was required for salvation, polygamy became doctrinal in the Mormon church. And it's still there. It remains a doctrine in the Doctrine and Covenants today and in temple rituals where a man can be sealed to multiple women. And in order to attain celestial heaven, the original doctrine of the Mormons was you must be a polygamist. So why did Mr. Hinckley lie about those facts? All of this to say that the writer of an article published in the Salt Lake Tribune on June 17th, which is, I've copied it here, written by Adam Ford, and it was printed in the June 17th edition of the Tribune, concludes in the article that it's okay to teach and believe myth as doctrine as long as some good comes from it. Now, I want to address portions of his article tonight and point out that there are obvious links that links together the thinking of mainline Mormon church members with the Mormon fundamentalist thinking, specifically that it's okay to perpetuate lies and myths in this culture. The article I'm referring to was referring to the topic or the Broadway musical entitled The Book of Mormon, and I asked for input from some reliable people and received some interesting insights, and so along with my own observations and some of theirs, which will also be included, we're going to unpack this nice-sounding but pernicious advice that was given in this article. First, we would like to remind our viewers that this play, The Book of Mormon, was not written as a theological lesson for Mormonism. Its intent was to make money and to entertain people. And so I'm going to take some portions of the article and I'm going to challenge its reliability using the Bible. So, to begin with, the article said, quote, "If a belief leads people to happiness and a better quality of life, that belief is a good thing, and people shouldn't allow doubts about the truthfulness of their belief to interfere with its impact." End quote. So, if your life here is pretty good, then and you have doubts about what you believe or the truth of what you believe, and if you're depending on that truth for eternal life, well, don't let your doubts interfere with your false belief. But you know what? Psalm 43:3 doesn't agree with that. And it says, "Send forth your light and your truth, let them guide me." And Psalm 119 verse 30 says, "I have chosen the way of truth." Obviously, truth matters according to the Bible and to God. No matter how good your life is, God requires to check out what we believe. And if it's doctrine that's laced with falsehoods or fables, we're to toss them out and follow the way of truth. The writer of this article advises, the article of this writer advises the opposite of what God says when he wrote, "If a belief leads people to happiness and a better life, a better quality of life, that belief is a good thing." Sadly, Mormon polygamy doesn't make for a better quality of life, and that was never its intent. We all recognize that doing good in the world is worthwhile. There are lots of good things done by people, even from the wacky and goofy belief systems. And people do benefit, and lives are improved in some way by the good deeds and the goodwill of others, whether religion is behind it or not. Good people can do bad things, and bad people can do good things. But the issue before us is not good things versus bad things, but truth. And that's the important issue and the measurement between Mormonism versus Christianity. Jesus said that the Father accepts worship only in spirit and in truth. He rejects fables and myths, and so should we. 2 Corinthians 13:8 says, "For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth." And you know what? Only the truth sets us free. Only the truth brings eternal benefits and eternal life. The article said, to go on with what it said, and I quote, "Truth can be the enemy of good. Fables can shape behavior for the benefit of all society. If religious stories help people love their neighbor and treat them with dignity and respect, they are noble regardless of reliability." Truth is the enemy of good? Talk about devaluing truth. And telling fables and stories that are not reliable is noble? What does God consider noble? You know, we talked about this before on the show. I'm going to bring it up again, because when people say a lie is noble and God says something else, we need to prove it. Acts 17:11 says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." It is noble to test for and to follow the truth. It isn't noble to tell stories and fables as truth. 2 Timothy 4:4 warns us that the time will come when people will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. It seems like that time has indeed come. The opposite of truth is untruth, and untruth, by definition, is a lie. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So the devil is the father of lies. What is noble about lying? And do we really need religious stories and fables and myths to enable us to treat each other with respect and dignity? Can't we do that without having lies to motivate us to do that? More from the article. Quote, "Being a part of a church organization that tells a story or professes doctrine that might not be entirely correct may be worth it. In fact, the stories are often key in giving members the strength to make the world a better place. The truth is what makes the world a better place, not stories." Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And that's what's happening here. The Bible warns us to avoid this kind of twisted thinking. And in 1 and 2 Timothy, God has more to say to us about myths and fables. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies." 2 Timothy 4:4 says, "They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." Now, the article would have us believe that myths are good, that telling religious stories that might not be true may be worth it. But God warns us against them. Who do you want to believe? Don't forget who the father of lies is. And so following myths and lies is following the father of those lies. Is it really worth it? Boyd Packer cautioned his listeners one time about how they should present the history of the Mormon Church. I'd like to quote what he said. There is a temptation for the writer or the teacher of church history to want to tell everything, whether it is worthy or faith-promoting or not. Some things that are true are not very useful. Well, anyone who has read or studied early Mormon history may understand why Packer would say this. Some of those true but not very useful things are not faith-promoting. For instance, Joseph Smith's deceit and his cover-up about polygamy. And I'm going to quote a rather long quote from the book Solemn Covenant. You can find it on page 368, written by B. Carmen Hardy. And I quote, Joseph Smith institutionalized the practice of lying so church leaders could deny the practice of taking multiple wives and keeping Smith out of legal trouble. Straight-faced lies permitted leaders to deceive with a clear conscience, believing that God permitted and even encouraged lying to protect the principle. An article from the 1886 Deseret News listed the code words and the rationale for their use. When accused of practicing polygamy, Joseph and Hiram denied it because it was different than celestial marriage and a plurality of wives. Excuse me. Polygamy was, after all, a doctrine of men and the devil. Celestial marriage was different, Smith reasoned, because it was a holy doctrine revealed by God. Joseph wanted followers to believe that the two terms were completely dissimilar. Other code words were eternal marriage, the divine order of marriage, holy order of marriage, living up to your privileges, new and everlasting covenant, and a different view of things. If accusers did not frame their allegations against using precisely the right terms, the leaders felt justified in prevaricating. Even if the accusers framed their words perfectly, the leaders lied anyway. Their view was that it was more important to live the higher law, loyalty to the prophet, than to expose the truth to Gentiles. A prominent feature of Mormonism is that loyalty trumps honesty. Mormon children in theocratic, territorial, and polygamous Utah were taught to lie about family relationships, their parents' whereabouts, and even their own last names. Now, I'm here to tell you that didn't happen just in territorial Utah. I was raised in the Kingston Polygamy Group, and I was taught to lie about my parents and about my last name and about the practice and doctrine of polygamy. That happened then, and it happens in today's polygamy groups as well. And this quote also clearly identifies celestial marriage with polygamy. It was the same practice. But in their lies and deceit, they redefined and twisted the words to appear to mean something different to save their own necks, to save their own skins. And today, they still say Section 132 is celestial marriage, not polygamy. And again, that is a lie. The article from the Tribune continues, and I quote, Mormons in unprecedented numbers are discovering unpleasant and inconsistent aspects of their historical narrative. Some express doubt about doctrines. The musical encourages Mormons experiencing crises of faith to stay and keep their shoulder to the wheel in spite of their diminished confidence. Do you really want to stay and knock yourself out for a religion whose practice is to lie to you on a daily basis? That hides deceitful activities, that promises what they cannot deliver. This article proves that the writer doesn't believe the truth is important. Tragically, he's also attempting to convince his Mormon readers, put aside your doubts, the truth isn't important. Is this intended to shut you up? Maybe you'll stop asking questions. Just keep your shoulder to the wheel. You know, I remember that song. We sang that song in the polygamy group too, growing up. Keep your shoulder to the wheel. Push along. Do your duty with a heart full of song. Well, shoulder to the wheel? Guess what? Salvation is by grace, not by works. Salvation is by grace, not by putting your shoulder to the wheel. Instead of keeping your shoulder to the wheel, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 through 30. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That, my friends, is opposite of keeping your shoulder to the wheel. But if your motivation is only to make the world a better place, there are plenty of opportunities to accomplish that without immersing yourself in lies and myths, deception and doctrinal baloney. He says, in spite of your doubts about doctrine, stay. Stay anyway. Why? Why should you stay anyway? The Bible doesn't say you should. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 15 says, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way." Don't stay anyway. Turn from it. Turn away from it. Lying is wrong. Turn from those who promote false myths and false teachings. And those doubts that you're having may very well have been placed there by God trying to rescue you from pure spiritual deception and leading to eternal death. Now, I have a website that I want to put on the screen, and it's kind of a long one, so grab a paper and pencil, and maybe our graphics person can keep it up there just a little bit longer. It's www.utlm.org/newsletters/no78.htm. Now, on that website, you'll find the detailed account of the deception of Mormon apostle Paul H. Dunn. And I want to quote a portion of that article. Quote, "After the general authorities of the Mormon Church discovered that Paul H. Dunn had been deceiving the people with his stories, they decided that the matter should not be known by the membership of the church. The people, they reasoned, must not discover that a man whom they had trusted as a church leader was guilty of fabricating stories. Obviously, they assume that you just cannot handle the truth. Can you? So they hide it from you, and they lie about it. That's been their habit ever since the time of Joseph Smith, which only proves yet again that this culture does not follow the way of truth, but relies upon deceit and tall tales instead." Read the entire website about Paul Dunn's story on that website if you dare. But if, like the writer of this article, you don't think truth is important, you better not read it, because it may turn your mythical world upside down. Doesn't truth matter anymore? Is it all just about personal relevancy? Are there not any more good guys or bad guys? Is it only about tolerance? Or about how someone feels about something? Biblical Christianity just attracts frowns and mockery. And if Jesus were on the earth today, and if he was teaching the same things the same way as he did 2,000 years ago, he would be accused of hatred and bigotry and intolerance, and he would surely be crucified all over again, because he is exclusive, and he said so. He said, "No one comes to the Father but by me." He said, "I am the truth." And the writer said, "Truth can be the enemy of good? Where does that put Jesus? I want to quote just a few more scriptures, especially for those who think lying for the Lord or living in a myth is okay after all. Acts chapter 20, verse 30 says, "Men will arise and distort the truth to draw away disciples after them." Romans 1, verse 25 says, "They exchange the truth of God for a lie." 1 Corinthians 13, 6 says, "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth." And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 says, "They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. All will be condemned who have not believed the truth." And 1 John 2, 21 says, "No lie comes from the truth." No lie comes from the truth. So if original Mormonism were true, there would have been no lies about polygamy from Joseph Smith and all the rest of the leadership up to and including your present day leadership, because if it was true, they wouldn't have lied, because no lie comes from the truth. And the beauty of the truth is God never commanded polygamy. Never. You won't find it in the Bible. We want you to know that God's love and truth is so awesome. It's so deep and pure, so fulfilling and incomparable, so beautiful and simple. Just take that and throw everything else out. Now I'm going to open the phone lines right now. Our telephone number is 801-973-8820. When we answer the phone on the air, you need to turn your volume down. And remember, we'll give away that free book to the first one that calls in and answers our question, "Do you believe that God requires or asks or commands us to lie at any time?" Remember, those who call in, we require the option of a two-way dialogue, and you can't yell at us or we'll we'll disconnect you. And I still have just a little bit more to go, so I will continue on as we wait for the phone calls to come in. There's a quote attributed to an Irish philosopher named Edmund Burke, and he lived in the 1700s. And that quote says something like this: "All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing." Now, perhaps he was patterning that philosophical phrase over the proverb in 24, verses 11 and 12 that says, "Rescue those being led away to death, hold back those staggering towards slaughter. If you say, 'But we knew nothing about this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it?" Or maybe he patterned it after Psalm 82:4, where it says, "Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked." The Rolling Stone magazine is not a publication that I have ever purchased or read until the June 23rd issue was released a couple of weeks ago. On the cover, there is a mention of an article inside entitled, "Inside America's Most Twisted Crime Family." And the article happens to be about the Kingston polygamy group, of which I was born and raised. Now, we're not into sensationalism here. All we want's the facts, you know, just the facts. So I contacted one of the persons that had been mentioned in the article, and I asked him if he would consider to come on the show and tell his story. Well, the answer was a definite no. Well, he explained that almost everything that he had told the reporter and what the reporter reported was untrue. I asked him if he'd like to be our guest and have the opportunity to refute what the reporter reported and set the record straight. He still said no. As we discussed various items of interest, mutual interest, being both born and raised in the Kingston polygamy group, he said that he doesn't agree with them, and that's why he left. But let them live however they want, he said. He'd leave them alone, and he just wants them to leave him alone. You know, this sounds rather noble, doesn't it? Live and let live, free agency, freedom of choice, freedom of religion. But does anyone realize how dangerous that attitude really is? The only thing needed for evil to triumph is for good people to do or say nothing. You know, there are hundreds of people out there who have fled, who have escaped, who have run away, who have left from polygamy, and they won't talk. Many of them won't talk because they live in fear, and I understand that. I lived in that fear myself for many, many years. I know exactly what that experience is. But sometimes they won't talk because they just don't want to be bothered. Live and let live. But polygamy groups are living outside the law. They are living against the law of the land. They're living against God's laws. They coerce people into economic slavery. They force their people into bondage to their leadership, to their united order, and to their husband if they're female. This is done with spiritual threats and damnation, sons of perdition. You'll lose your family. You'll hurt your family, and so on. The chains are invisible. But don't think for one minute that those chains aren't there, and they are tight, and they are secure. Some people, or some polygamy groups, will practice incest, cousins getting married, uncles and nieces and half-brothers and sisters marry and intermarry generationally, all of which is illegal, and all of which carries a time bomb of birth defects of one sort or another. When good people step forward and do something, this evil can be stopped. But until then, the insidiousness of these atrocities will continue. Members of polygamy groups who are watching right now will deny to the death any wrongdoing. But inside your own consciences, you know that there is something dreadfully wrong. Why not step forward with the truth? You know, finally, there's a lot of fasting done in this culture. Each Mormon faction has its own fasting practice. Some groups practice 40-day fasts. They think that fasting for that long makes them healthy and holy to the Lord. But in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, God says, quote, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke." This is the fasting that pleases God. Why not practice His kind of fasting instead of starving yourselves? Begin loosing the chains of injustice within your own group and your own people. Okay, it looks like there's a couple of calls coming in. Before we start taking phone calls, we would like to show a short clip. Are you thinking of leaving your polygamous situation? Are you afraid to leave because you might lose the love of your friends and your family and perhaps even the love of God? Are you afraid you'll become destitute if you do leave? When I ran away from my fundamentalist upbringing and the polygamy environment I was raised in, I had no safe place to go, no place that I knew that I would be safe after I left. And I was so naive, I didn't know that I was exchanging one bad situation for another one. In those days, there were no organizations established to help people who needed to safely exit a polygamist environment. That's why a Shield and Refuge ministry exists today. We're here to help those who want to leave a polygamous situation safely and without fear. We do provide you with a safe refuge, and you will be shielded from those who would harm you. So if you're thinking of leaving your polygamous situation, give us a call. We're here waiting to hear from you. Our telephone number, toll-free, is 1-877-425-9993. If you have access to the internet, you can locate us at www.shieldandrefuge.org. And you can contact us immediately, day or night. We would love to help you. God has made a promise in Psalm 91:4. that he shall cover you with his feathers, and you can take refuge under his wings. And it's his truth that will be your shield. So if anyone is watching tonight who has some questions and you just like to talk, or if you just really want to get out of there, give us a call. We would be happy to talk with you and help you however we can. Now, we have some calls coming in. First of all, we have Harry calling in Murray. Hello, Harry.
Yes. My question to you is, does your group have access to the temples?
Our group?
Can you go to the temple? Your people send...
Our group have access to the temple?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be worthy, do you think? After what I said tonight, we would have been kicked out sky high.
I can't hear you, dear.
I said, after what I said tonight, they wouldn't make me let me go into the temple. I certainly wouldn't be worthy.
Well, not you. I mean your group, the Kingston group. Do they have?
Well, it's not my group. I'm here to tell you. The polygamy groups do not have access to the temple. No, they don't.
The one I was associated with did.
With who?
I said the group that I was associated with did have access to the temple.
What group is that?
The All Red group.
They had access to the Salt Lake, to the Mormon temple?
That's right.
When
I started to ask questions, I was hushed up, Bert.
Of course. Of course, they still don't have access to the temple, do they?
Yes. This wasn't too many years ago.
I understand the All Red group had their own temple ceremony in their own building down in Draper. Is that not true?
I didn't get that tied up with them. All I know is they went to the Salt Lake Temple.
Well, that's interesting. You're going to have some scrambling people now looking to find out who they are. Or maybe, you know, there's some deceit going on. Maybe they know about it already and they just don't want to tell. We can only just guess. Did you go in the temple?
No.
I see.
They were taken care of by my adopted mother.
Uh-huh.
And I went out there to visit her one day, and they were getting all dressed up, and I asked her what was going on, and she told me they were going to the Salt Lake Temple.
Uh-huh.
Well, when I started digging into it, they hushed her up and hushed me up.
Oh, yes. Well, that's very interesting, Harry. I'm glad you called in and told us that. No, we didn't have any access to temple at all. Actually, we didn't have any desire to. That just wasn't part of our teaching at all. Okay, thank you for your call. We got some other calls to take.
Okay, thank you, dear.
Bye. Okay, we have Nancy calling from Salt Lake City. Hello, Nancy. Nancy. Hello. Are you there, Nancy? Nancy's not there. Okay, we'll go to Mike on line 3. Hello, Mike.
Yes, hello. How are you, Doris?
I am very well, thank you. How are you?
Just fine. I was a Mormon for a while. I wasn't in there very long. I went there, the benefits, but when I found
Mike,
out...
Mike, could you speak up? We can't hear you.
I said I was a Mormon for a while.
Uh-huh.
But when I found out that things I thought were myths were true, I left. I really thought that they were fables, but they weren't. And anyway, since then I've become a Christian, and I grew up in Utah, and I'm a kind of minister to a lot of friends of mine that come out of Mormonism, and they were married in the temple. And what I see with these gentlemen is that ritual they went through in the temple, that these people are genuinely in terror of ever revealing anything that happened through that ceremony, and afraid that there's going to be retribution. They're going to come and hurt them and their families.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is true in the... that scares these people. And I've known people in my past that, were affiliated with gangs and motorcycle clubs and, you know, and stuff like this. And, you know, that is a blood atonement, you know, where
well,
they will come and get you.
Well, it was years
you know
ago.
I mean?
It was.
I mean,
they've taken
a lot
that
of,
out.
Street gangs that, you know, blood in, blood out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same kind of a ceremony that seems to be in the church. And these men are good, brave men, and they are scared. scared to death. They said, well, maybe they won't actually, you know, disembowel you or cut your throat, but, you know, you might get poisoned. This might happen. And if that's happening in the mainstream, well, into the the regular church, what's happening? Is that thing still happening in the FLDS? Because they're fundamentalists. Are they going out?
Well, they're fundamentalists, and there is some fear, especially in some of the groups, about blood atonement, and it's not as great as it used to be. The LeBaron group, when Irvel LeBaron kind of shot out of the LeBaron group, he did some blood atonement. He did quite a bit of it. And I've also heard that even under some of the FLDS, that there has been threats of it. But to my knowledge, it isn't being practiced at all today.
Well, I've seen the fear in these gentlemen, and they are very brave men, and they, especially to leave the doctrine and come into being mm-hmm. Christians and stuff like this. But this thing, if this thing was going on, you know, later on, and at first it was going on, you know, this gentleman told me that you wouldn't believe all the people that were actually come underneath this, and they put fear into people, and still the people have fear.
Well, they're not supposed to talk about it. That's true. They absolutely are not.
That's what he said. And
yeah.
That is fear. That is really witchcraft. That is
yeah.
So...
Well, you know, the interesting part about this, I'd like to say from 1 John chapter 4, it says God is love. And perfect love casts out fear.
Yeah,
perfect love doesn't cause
fear.
He casts it out.
But a power, love, and a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and our source is God. But being in this environment here in Utah, you know, it just blew me away. I mean, I just thought I'd bring it up. And just what you just said, you know, that letting people know if they give their life to God, God will take care of them. And no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And any tongue that rises against them in judgment shall be condemned in silence. They're under the blood of Jesus. And God will give his angels charge over them and keep them in all his ways.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. We appreciate your call.
Thank you very much, dear.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to just make a comment based on this. The polygamy groups and the LDS Church and other non-biblical religious groups will use fear to hold their members. They'll use fear and guilt and shame to scare them to stay in. But when you go to Christianity, you'll see the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And once we are secure in the hands of God, he promises he will never let us go. We don't have that fear. We have joy and love. And Jesus says, I have come that you may have joy and have life to the fullest. And that's what he's here to do. And he does do that for those who will trust in him alone for your life and for your salvation. Okay, it looks like Nancy's back. Let's see if we can get her this time. Hello, Nancy.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. You're on the air.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I appreciate you reaching out to those that are in a polygamy situation and are trying to get out of it, and that you offer in a support group for those people. I think that's a really great thing for that you do that. But what my question is you set up your program, that's your purpose, and your foundation is for that purpose, and yet you spend the whole hour of your program just kind of trying to bash the mainstream Mormon church.
Did I bash the mainstream Mormon church, Nancy? How did I bash it? Would you please tell me?
Well, because you talk about, like you said, that Paul Dunn was an apostle and that he lied.
But that's the truth. Is that not the truth?
One of the things that's incorrect is that Paul Dunn was not an apostle. He was a member of the 70. He was not an apostle. And I just feel like some of the things that you say are not true, because I've been a member for 50 years, and I know that some of the facts that you're handing out are not true and not what I've been taught.
What specifically, Nancy, what was not true? Now, let's say that he wasn't apostle. What else wasn't true that I said?
Well, when we found out that Paul Dunn had, you know, kind of made his stories...
Lied?
A personal
when he
thing
lied?
Instead of just...
Can you say that word, that Paul Dunn lied?
We were not told... We were told right away that he had done that.
Right away? How soon? How soon were you told? Would you go on, before you go further
years,
with this,
I don't remember, but
Nancy, why don't you go on the website I gave you and read the whole article?
But the thing I wanted to say is that millions of members of the mainstream Mormon church are brought to Christ. And we worship the Christ of the New Testament, the Christ who preached
Nancy?
Nancy, died on the cross.
Nancy.
No, that our salvation and redemption is through him, and we worship him. We don't worship a prophet or Joseph Smith or anybody.
I never said you did. I never said you worshipped a
prophet
or
anybody. Your representation, when you talk about that the only way, we have to go to our salvation through Christ, that is what the mainstream Mormon church...
Nancy, I need to ask you a question. You say that you
My
worship...
My question is, why do you spend so much time with your vendetta against the mainstream Mormon...
No vendetta, Nancy.
Sounds like hate speech.
Uh-huh.
Or,
okay. And if Jesus was here today, Nancy, if you don't allow a two-way dialogue, you're out of here, okay?
Well, I just wanted to...
If Jesus was here today, he would be accused of hate speech because he had no tolerance for false religions. None. Read Matthew chapter 23. Now, you say that you worship the Christ of the New Testament.
Right.
Nancy, the Christ of the New Testament is not Lucifer's spirit brother. And so you do not worship the Christ of the New Testament. You have taken Lucifer's spirit brother and put down some attributes of the New Testament Christ and made him your Savior. And that just it doesn't work that way. Jesus said,
I'm not telling you that you're not Christian.
I'm not telling you you're not either.
Different ideas of Christ when a lot of that is not really known. A lot of it was established, 300 A.D. by men.
Oh, no, there we go again. You're reading too much Mormon propaganda.
I'm
need to find the facts, Nancy, and then we can talk back. Right now I have another call coming in, and I will take that one. Thank you for your comments. And for those who think that we are just spending our time bashing Mormonism, I spoke about polygamy all through the show tonight. And polygamy and Mormonism is one and the same thing from the same Joseph Smith, from the same doctrine. In fact, polygamists are the genuine Mormons. So, you're the apostate. You need to check your history. You need to check up what you believe. And on our website, whatloveisthis.tv, there is a list of the most asked questions. And for those of you who heard what Nancy had to say to us tonight, you can go on our website and read our full answer to bashing Mormonism on this show. We didn't bash anyone. We merely told the truth. Okay, we have a call from Carolyn in Parowan. Hello, Carolyn. 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 Carolyn, are you there?
I am. Nancy needs to turn to BYU station because they have a show on there called Praise to the Man.
Oh, they do.
Yes, they do, on their own BYU station.
Mm-hmm.
And plus all those big posters they had in Salt Lake,
mm-hmm,
with Joseph Smith saying Praise to the Man.
They have a song that
okay,
they sing.
Number two,
regular?
I'll make this fast.
Yeah.
My aunt has been out of Mormonism for 40 years, and to this day she will not speak about what she did in the temple.
Fear.
She is
mm-hmm.
afraid, even
yeah.
though she has not been a Mormon for 40 years.
Yeah.
And number three, Mormons lie to Mormons. Period. My own sister, a Mormon, I was a Mormon then, lied to me till I found out the truth. And I saw this growing up throughout my entire life, that Mormons lie to Mormons about doctrines. They tried to buff it over and whatever. My father went to the temple to get married to his second wife. My sister lied to me and she goes, it's not for time and eternity. It's not for all time and eternity. It's just for today. And so after I came out of Mormonism, I called her up and I said, why did you lie to me? My whole life I've been taught to lie about the doctrine. And you lied to me. Mom and Dad lied. They lied to friends. I saw it my entire life. So Mormons do lie to each other, period.
Well, Carolyn, there are many Mormons who really don't know their doctrine. And they will, and I found this to their credit, where often they will you know, argue with us about what we say on the show, but they don't really know the basis of their Mormon doctrine. And also, we must say that the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So we're all guilty of lying. But there is that insidiousness where they believe that if they lie to a Gentile, it's okay, that God doesn't care. And so they don't think there's anything wrong with lying, but that isn't the way God would have us do. He wants us all to be true.
That's right.
Well, thank you for your call, yeah. Carolyn.
I know
it.
There was an article in the newspaper when I lived in California that Mormons believe they're going to be God. Well, everybody in California knew I was a Mormon. I was the stray cat of the bunch. And they came to me and says, do Mormons really think they're going to become God? And I stood right there and I lied because I was told to lie. And I said, no, of course not.
Well,
because I was brought up that way.
Yeah,
don't
it's
let
in
anybody
their book.
Know. Only Mormons can know these little secrets.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's there. You know, you can lie about it all day long, but it's there. If people really want to check it out, they can. And I hope Nancy does and anyone else who watches the show really check it out. Thanks a lot, Carolyn.
Thank you, dear.
Uh-huh, good night. Okay, we have James from Magna calling. Hello, James.
Hello. I was a former member of the Allred Group.
Oh, yeah?
In the 1970s.
Uh-huh.
And as we came into that group, we were encouraged to stay in the church, be active in the church, go to the temple, the LDS temple, and which I did. So I was a member of the Allred Group, and I went to the temple.
Were you
but
a polygamist?
Had the church known about that.
James, were you a polygamist at the time?
Well, I was not living in the 80s, I joined a different group. But I have another comment, too, about Paul Dunn. After it was shown that he was lying about his history, his ball games, and his military feats,
uh-huh.
he was still in demand, great demand,
mm-hmm.
as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, the Mormons just don't care about the truth.
They don't. And you know, that website I gave you, there is so much information on the entire website that... The article on Paul Dunn gives full information about all of that for anybody who cares enough to research the truth. But I do appreciate your call and your comments on it.
Sign off.
Okay. Thank you. Good night. Okay. We have an off-the-air question. It says, do polygamy groups send out missionaries? This is a very interesting question. Polygamy groups do not send out missionaries like Christians do or like the Mormon Church does. They don't have missionary programs, which of course is in disobedience to what Jesus said to do, which makes you wonder where they think they're coming from on that. They have to be so secretive. They cannot send out missionaries to recruit people as far as being upfront and honest about it. But there are people from polygamy groups, especially boys, young boys, who can't get a wife, that will go outside of the group and find a young bride and bring her into the group. And that happens probably more frequently than you realize. And I really might say here that young girls who are raised in the Mormon church and a boy from a polygamy group might come out and you might start to date and you might start to like each other, and he can tell her that real Mormonism is polygamy and show her early Mormon doctrine, and she'll believe it because it's there. There's no doubt about it. So it's easy to recruit a young innocent girl to marry a polygamous man, and bam, she's taken right into a polygamy group. So that's probably the kind of missionary work that's done. There are those who will go out and surreptitiously convince other people to join their group, maybe if they're questioning Mormonism. But no, there is no missionary programs in the polygamy groups. Looks like we have a call from Al Kingston in Bountiful. Hello, Al, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my goodness. Who are you?
Al Kingston.
Al Kingston, I don't know you.
About 48 years ago, you told me your birthday is on June 30th.
I don't know you. Oh, you're not Lionel, are you?
Yes.
Well, how come you said you're Al?
Al for Lionel.
Oh, it says Al on the screen. Okay, I'm sorry.
Over Al, I guess something matters.
Okay, just to let our viewers know, you used to be in the Kingston group, but you left with your family.
Right.
Well, thank you for the birthday greeting. I appreciate that.
Yep. Okay, you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
We'll see you again one of these days.
Okay, bye.
Hey, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks.
Bye. Oh, my. Are we not full of surprises here? Okay, very quickly, we're getting towards the end. Very quickly, I want to read an email. This is from a couple of weeks ago. It says, I listen to your show every week and have so little patience for the LDS who call in and just rant. To paraphrase a caller named Gordon, he said, I suppose you don't do blood sacrifices, so maybe you can't consider yourself a Christian. What? I was so hoping you would say, read Hebrews. But of course, when people rant on, it's hard to pin them down to one point at a time. What a ridiculous thing to say. I really felt that this was a missed opportunity to set the record straight, if indeed they have no clue how the Old Testament relates to the New Testament. And really, most of the time, they don't know how it relates. And the blood sacrifices, that has nothing to do with being a Christian. It was types and shadows, it tells in Hebrews, of the final sacrifice to come, which was Jesus Christ. And now I'd like to close telling you that because we believe the Bible to be God's Word, we also believe His warnings, and that's why we do this show. We care about our loved ones and our culture who are being deceived by the lies and the deceits of Joseph Smith's teachings. You see, the Bible says that sinners will be damned. God has provided only one way for us to have a reprieve from that judgment, and that one way is Jesus Christ and His death for us on the cross. If you don't want the cross, then you can't have Jesus. And if you don't want the cross, you can't have forgiveness and your sins won't be washed away. And if you don't want the cross, you will die in your sins and you will be damned. We don't want a single person to end up in hell because we failed to warn you. And so we implore you to just check out what you believe. Are you believing in myths and unreliable stories or the truth? And how do you know? Charles Spurgeon once said, what would you do if you saw a long line of blind men walking toward a cliff and one after the other stepping off, falling down to the jagged rocks below to their death? Wouldn't you warn them? Wouldn't you cry out for them to stop following their leader to the death? We cannot remain passive and just tiptoe through the tulips, hoping we don't offend someone. Jesus taught more about hell than he taught about heaven. How can we ignore it? There's only one way to keep from going there, and that one way is not a church. It isn't polygamy. It isn't works of any kind. It is a way that has already been designated and prepared, and no other way can be established. And it's not by works. It is by grace through faith. And it isn't faith in your church, and it isn't faith in your feelings, and it isn't faith in your polygamy. It isn't even faith in your Joseph Smith. It is faith that Jesus Christ has already done everything for you. Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.